Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You are wonderful people for joining us 365 days a year. Appreciate you being here. Today is semi-bittersweet. You know, all offseason we go through, you know, potential 53-man roster predictions. We'll probably do one final one next week after we get through our final preseason game and right before cutdowns, which are next week already, which seems crazy, but it's always bittersweet when you get to the end, and it's kind of the penultimate 53-man roster prediction, if you will. But we're going to go through that today. I do think some things have changed, both with what we've seen in preseason and not only that, but training camp, of course, but also with some of the injuries as of late. So I think that's going to kind of be one of the things that really helps us kind of focus in and just gives us a different lens on this entire roster is all the injuries that the Packers are fighting through at the moment. We also heard from Matt LaFleur kind of breaking down some of those injuries, which we'll also go through momentarily. Now, today's show is presented in part, I've always wanted to say that, by Luigi's Pizza. Right now, Woodman's, Luigi's new gourmet pizza parlor is on sale for $3.99. You cannot get anything for $3.99, much less a full pizza, but you can right now at Woodman's. Five flavors, pepperoni, sausage and pepperoni, supreme sausage, and they also have cheese fries. Gourmet pizzas without the gourmet price. Head over to luigispizza.com. Again, you can find these at participating Woodman's locations. Stock up on those Luigi's victory pizzas now. Green Bay is going to get what, at least, you know, 12 wins, let's say. I would just get, I don't know, 20 pizzas just to be safe. And that should cover you for your victory pizzas throughout the course of the year. And then just give you a few extra just in case. Let's get to that injury report, which is not great. If I'm being honest, there were three injuries from this past game: Omar Brown, Marshawn Lloyd, and then Baron Sorrell. And we were hoping that, you know, Matt LaFleur would come out and say, hey, actually everyone's doing great and it's perfect. Unfortunately, it's not. Now, he did not elaborate a ton. Let's start with the one that we, you know, don't know a timeline, but, you know, Omar Brown is still in the hospital. He, I was assuming, would hopefully be back and it was maybe more precautionary. It apparently was not. He was still in the hospital as of Sunday. They're hoping to release him as of Monday. It was a lung issue. Don't know the severity or what's exactly going on. The fact that he is set to get released on Monday, at least that's the expectation, is a good sign for him. But man, I was hoping that he was just going to be, you know, observed overnight and be able to go home the next day. That has not been the case as of yet. So thinking of Omar Brown, hopefully he's doing okay. His health is far more important than anything else, you know, when you have it to that level, right? And yeah, don't know what the timeline for recovery would be after that. But first and foremost, you know, obviously when you have something that severe, just getting, you know, back on your feet out of the hospital will be of the primary concern for Omar Brown. And like I said, thinking of him, and hopefully he's out sooner rather than later. Then we have the two other ones, Marshawn Lloyd and Baron Sorrell, which Matt LaFleur only elaborated by saying it's going to be some time for both of them. And that's exactly what you did not want to hear for either player. Baron Sorrell, I thought, had a really nice first preseason game, has had a nice camp, looked like he was going to be a legitimate rotational piece at defensive end for Green Bay. And now this is a pretty solid setback for him. Again, when he comes back, if this is 2-3 weeks or if this is longer than that, we don't know. But he, you know, anytime you hear Matt say he's going to miss some time, this is not just a very short-term injury. It's going to usually take a few weeks, you would think, at the earliest. Hopefully I'm wrong about that. Again, hopefully it's sooner, but that's kind of where my mind immediately goes. And then Marshawn Lloyd, you know, obviously devastating that he has another injury, and this one is a hamstring injury. It's just one of those unfortunate aspects where sometimes players, for whatever reason, are snake bit at the position. If you would like to call it injury prone, you be you. You go do you. I will clarify my statement from yesterday briefly. I do believe that players can be injury prone. I do not believe that you can predict future off of anything that specifically happened in the past. And just kind of clarifying that really quick. Yes, if you have a player in college who's been injured a lot, you are using that as part of your evaluation when they come into the NFL, and you're going to probably maybe lower them on the board a little bit because they haven't been available as much in college. It's same thing with a player who has maybe played in the league for 4 years and has missed some time. If they've missed a lot of time, the price is going to be lower. Jaire Alexander. If Jaire Alexander has not had injuries, he's getting way more money. He's probably still in Green Bay at this point, but he's had a ton of injuries. That is going to affect the amount of money that you pay for him because he's had that injury history, because it can potentially predict. What I'm saying here is that, you know, from here on out, after this injury, I'm not willing to say that any of Marshawn Lloyd's injuries so far are going to affect him in the future. He could go on to have an unbelievable career with very minimal injuries from here on out. Up until this point, it has not been great. Once we get to the end of Marshawn Lloyd's career, we can look back and say, all right, he was injury prone. He had so, you know, X amount of injuries over his entire career. That's pretty injury prone, right? So again, I look at it more past tense. Past tense, Marshawn Lloyd, what he's done so far over the last year plus has not been able to stay on the field. And ultimately, as I said yesterday, that's what you're judged on. It sucks. It's unfortunate. I'm cheering the guy on, as I know we all are. We want him to be out there, and I'm hoping that this is the last one. We said that last time too. Hope that this is the last one and he can just finally go out there and play football at the ability that he has, because when he's out there, it looks really freaking good. But he has to be out there on the field, or it just doesn't matter all that much of what he can do, because if he's on the sideline, you can't do anything over there. So not blaming him for any of this. I think sometimes the injury prone label gets thrown around with people who, you know, maybe aren't taking it seriously or doing the right things. He went to UW-Madison and had that hamstring thing figured out to try to figure out why these things were happening. He did that whole study. They said he's in the great, like, unbelievable shape, working incredibly hard. I believe he's doing everything in his power to be ready for the season and to get out there and perform at the highest level possible. It's just been a series of unfortunate events for Marshawn Lloyd. And hopefully, like I said, this can be the last issue for him. But it sounds like, again, he's going to miss some time. Same thing with Baron Sorrell, who had a knee issue. And hopefully this is, again, not something that knocks him out for a extended period of time and can be back at some point, hopefully early in the season or even before. Jordan Love, sounds like they are working on a practice plan to get him working this week. There looks like there may be more 7-on-7s, which we know Matt does not like, but it sounds like it might be a necessary evil this week with Jordan and his injury situation. So there will be some 7-on-7s, and they are looking at getting Jordan back this week. Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed, Matt was asked if they'd be ready for week one, and he said he hopes so, and kind of made it as like, that's the expectation and I'm hoping so. But with Matt, again, he basically would always follow it up with, you know, anytime there's an injury, there's always some concern. He didn't in this case, but hopefully by that reaction, we're getting Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed at latest by week one. Savion Williams is dealing with a hamstring injury. So a hamstring injury for Savion Williams. He had the shoulder injury that he was coming back from, and then that's why he was in the red jersey. That's why they were very cautious of him not doing team activities to begin with. Then after that, he had the concussion, came back from the concussion, was still working his way back from the shoulder injury, which is why he didn't play in the first preseason game. Then last week, as I mentioned, had the gun on his leg, not the actual gun, the massage gun. You got to be careful there. The massage gun on his leg and was massaging it out, and then did not return to practice, did not practice the rest of the week, did not play in the game. And now we know it is a hamstring injury officially. How it affects the 53 is actually somewhat interesting. I think the big two here, Baron Sorrell and Marshawn Lloyd, could absolutely affect the 53. In fact, spoiler, it's going to in just a moment when we go through our 53-man roster prediction today. If just to kind of go through the reminder of the return from injury, you can now place two players on the IR designated to return during cutdown day, meaning you don't have to place them on the 53-man roster first and then, you know, put them on IR designated to return, which basically makes it so that you have to cut two other players to keep them on the roster initially and then put them on IR designated to return and then try like heck to hopefully get those two players back. You don't have to do that anymore. You have two players that you can designate on cutdown day. Hello, Baron Sorrell and Marshawn Lloyd would be two players that could potentially be eligible for that type of, you know, roster move. Zane Anderson could potentially be another one. Well, hopefully there's not more injuries that come up where we have to consider this with other players, but those are players that could potentially, you know, be affected, or that roster I guess, just exemption or the ability to put them on IR with a designated to return could be used for. So that's worth talking about and just noting that that is a possibility for these two players that would knock them out for at least the first 4 weeks of the season, but then you would be able to bring them back after that. So that just kind of gives you an idea there of how this could. And then some players that are potentially benefited from this is Emmanuel Wilson. If Emmanuel Wilson is in a battle for trying to, you know, get a number four running back spot or anything like that, if Lloyd starts on that IR designated to return, you know, he is basically a lock at that point, you would think, to make the 53 along with Chris Brooks and Josh Jacobs. Same thing at defensive end. Aaron Mosby could be a huge benefactor here. Colin Oliver is still not practicing, right? You now have Baron Sorrell not practicing. This injury class, by the way, or this draft class, by the way, has been very injury riddled through the first, you know, few weeks of training camp and beyond. Hopefully that improves moving forward. John Williams doesn't practice yet. Colin Oliver hasn't practiced yet. Baron Sorrell is now out. Savion Williams is out. Too many injuries in this draft class so far. But yeah, it could really help a player like Aaron Mosby, who, if you're looking at, you have your top two, and then you have Enigbare and Brenton Cox. If Colin Oliver's not back, if Baron Sorrell's not back, Aaron Mosby, probably the next guy, is that number five defensive end. So we'll talk about that here in just a moment as well. Last but not least, it sounds like Trey Hendrickson is actually on the trade block. As I've said all along, I would not get your hopes up for anything. I would be for it if they could find a way to make it work. It's a big contract. You're going to have to give up resources, probably a player. Cincinnati's competing right now, so they're probably going to want something of value in return, not just a 2026 draft pick. They need somebody that can help their team in 2025. How that would look or what players you want to trade, I'll let you be the judge there and choose your own adventure with it. But I don't see it happening. I will gladly talk about it on the breaking news episode if it does in fact happen. It'd be really fun. Like I said, I would probably make that run at him if I could, if I were Goody in this situation. But there's a lot that goes into that, including that massive contract, which is going to make him one of the highest paid defensive players in all of football. That brings us to our 53-man roster prediction for today. We're going to go position by position and kind of make sense of which players are going to make the team, which ones are going to make the practice squad, which ones are going to make maybe some of the injured lists, and see where that puts every position on the roster slash depth chart. We'll start at quarterback. Two quarterbacks making this team, Jordan Love and Malik Willis, barring injury. Knock on wood that we don't have to discuss any injuries for those two moving forward. We already had one injury scare with Jordan Love. Sean Clifford and Taylor Algersma, we'll talk about when we get to the practice squad portion of who gets kept there. I cannot imagine a world in which they keep either of them on the 53. This is more, hey, you're going to both get released. We're going to try to probably get one of you back in the practice squad. It also wouldn't stun me if they liked another quarterback from another team that they maybe brought in to develop that way. That could also happen as well, but I don't expect any of it to happen on the 53. It's only two quarterbacks, Jordan Love and Malik Willis. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, preseason football is already underway and college football is here, so do not miss any of the action this season on Prize Picks. An absolute blast winning last year on Prize Picks, and now I'm gearing up for another epic run in 2025. I've already got a couple deep sleepers in mind, and I'm going to be very, very high on Tucker Kraft this upcoming season as well. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let's break it down super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to play. You just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports. And there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game. Running back, I'm going three. Josh Jacobs, Emmanuel Wilson, and Chris Brooks. I'm going to say that Marshawn Lloyd ends up on the injured reserve designated to return list. And hopefully he can get back before that. And then we can have a conversation of should they keep a fourth running back or how that kind of looks with Emmanuel Wilson. But for now, I'm going to guess that they are very cautious with this and don't try to rush him back early, give him the time that he needs. So my expectation as of now, he will be one of those players that is designated to return, and therefore only three running backs on the active roster: Josh Jacobs, Emmanuel Wilson, Chris Brooks. If you're wondering about Israel Abanaconda or Amar Johnson, I think both of those are more likely practice squad players. I don't think they would keep either as a fourth running back. If they really like one of them, it's possible. I think it's unlikely, but I wouldn't rule out entirely. Abanaconda has been serving as the kick returner. I think they have enough other players, including Keyshawn Nixon, who can do that, that I don't know that that's actually a huge value for them. And I don't think that he actually would bring anything different to the table that Brooks, Wilson, Jacobs, et cetera, doesn't already give them at running back. I would love him on the practice squad. I just don't know that he makes sense on the 53. Amar Johnson, I really like. I do think that there's something there. I would actually take Amar Johnson over Abanaconda at this point, but I could see them actually liking Abanaconda a little bit more. Amar Johnson, again, is a perfect practice squad candidate. So only three on the 53 here: Josh Jacobs, Emmanuel Wilson, and Chris Brooks, with Marshawn Lloyd going on injured reserve, designated to return. I am going with six wide receivers semi-reluctantly: Romeo Doubs, Matthew Golden, Jaden Reed, Savion Williams, Dontavian Wicks, and Malik Heath. Let me start by saying Savion Williams could also be a IR designated to return if this ends up being a lingering issue. Christian Watson will start on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list. And why I say reluctantly is I don't think that there has been a wide receiver that has been, you know, worthwhile or has earned that number six wide receiver spot, either Mecole Hardman or Malik Heath. But I will say this: when Romeo Doubs has a back injury, Jaden Reed has had a foot injury, Savion Williams has a hamstring injury, Dontavian Wicks has had a calf injury, there's a lot of beat up wide receivers. I could very much understand if they go into this cutdown time in just a week and a half here and say, we have too many guys beat up at wide receiver. We can't just keep five when four of them are hurt or banged up to some real extent. So for that reason, I am going to keep Malik Heath. I don't think Hardman makes sense here. First of all, Heath has been ahead of Hardman every step of the way when it comes to snaps in training camp and in preseason, specifically playing with the ones. On top of that, as we've talked about, Hardman's contract will guarantee if he is on the roster week one, especially with Christian Watson coming back at some point. I don't think that makes a ton of sense. I think Heath has some inherent baked-in advantages here, including being cheaper. His contract wouldn't guarantee, you know, he has more years of team control. He's younger. There's a lot going for Heath here. I don't think there's any of the other receivers outside of maybe Hardman who could get in this conversation. If everyone is healthy, I think there's a good chance that they release Heath, try to get him back on the practice squad, and just keep five, knowing that Christian Watson's going to come back hopefully around week six when they, you know, after that week five bye. But for now, with all the injuries there, I think they're just going to have to keep Malik Heath, just so that they for sure have enough bodies at that position. So six wide receivers: Doubs, Golden, Reed, Williams, Wicks, and Heath. Tight end, only three. If you told me they kept four tight ends, I think it's probably most likely that it's a tight end that's not on the roster right now, that they claimed a tight end from somewhere else. I do think John Fitzpatrick is locked in now to that number three spot. Ben Sims could still maybe get in that number four conversation if they wanted to keep four, but I think they maybe take a flyer on something else, try to get Ben Sims back on the practice squad. But for this, three tight ends: Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, and John Fitzpatrick. Don't think anyone else makes a ton of sense at this point in time. I'm going nine offensive linemen. I don't think there's a 10th to keep. Quite frankly, I don't think there's a ninth to keep. Rasheed Walker, Aaron Banks, Elton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, Zach Tom, Jordan Morgan, those, Anthony Belton, those are the easy ones. Those are the seven. I'm keeping Jacob Monk as the number eight offensive lineman basically by default. I just don't think there's anyone really to challenge him for that spot at the moment. And number nine, man, I'll just be totally transparent. Pick your favorite. If you like Donovan Jennings there, go Donovan Jennings. If you like Lasita Smith, go Lasita Smith. JJ Lippy, Tyler Cooper, your guess is as good as mine on this one. They could easily look waiver wire here and try to find somebody off the scrap heap. They could try to maybe trade a seventh round pick, you know, kind of like they did with Malik Willis last year, to try to find another player. I will say this: teams are not willing to get rid of offensive linemen very easily. And, you know, you still might find somebody on waivers that's better than your current number nine, but it's very tough to find those players. For now, I'm putting Kadeem Telford in here very reluctantly. Jennings could easily still be this. I think it's right now, it feels like it's between Jennings and Telford. They've both struggled. Telford's had a tough camp. Jennings has had a really tough preseason. And the reason I'm going Telford is because they seem to kind of want to be going in this direction of having some bigger guys along that offensive line. So I'm going Telford basically just based on that. I do think that Travis Glover loss looms a little bit large here, where he would, I think, probably pretty easily have been the number nine player here. But I'm going to go with Kadeem Telford as the ninth. So Walker, Banks, Jenkins, Ryan, Tom, Morgan, Monk, Belton, and Kadeem Telford as number nine. On offense, that gives us two quarterbacks, three running backs, six receivers, three tight ends, and nine offensive linemen for a total of what, 12, 18, 21, 23 players on offense, which does give us a couple extra spots on defense to play with. If you think of it logically, right? You have 25 on offense, 25 on defense, three on special teams. There's your 53. If you only have 23 on offense, that's going to give you 27 on defense. And then again, your normal three on special teams. Let's get into it on defense. Six defensive ends. I am going with Rashawn Gary, LVN, Brenton Cox, Kingsley Enagbare. I'm going to say that Colin Oliver gets activated in the next couple weeks here. I personally would not. I would hold on to that PUP designation for Colin Oliver so that he can start the season on the physically unable to perform list. Because here's what that grants you. It sucks if he's kind of getting ready to go that you would have to do that. But what it grants you is basically an extra roster spot, and you can keep him on the PUP list and you don't have to subject him to waivers. And then once he's eligible to come off the physically unable to perform list, you get like that three-week ramp up period where you can practice with the team. And then once you practice with the team, you can kind of reintegrate yourself that way. Then you can make that decision if you want to activate them or not, or just put them on season ending IR at the time. I think that gives you a 3-week window to kind of work with him at that time rather than like a 1.5-week window now. So I would probably keep him on the physically unable to perform list, but I think they're going to pull him off. There was a mention of that the other day, that they're hoping he can come back soon and that they can get him out there practicing. In order to do that, you have to take him off of the physically unable to perform list, in which case, as most of you know, you cannot put him back on at any point in time. So I think that because of that, he'll come back, start practicing, and will actually make it on the 53-man roster, because they're certainly not going to release their fifth-round pick. And then I am putting Aaron Mosby on here as well. Core special teamer, plays a ton on teams. And I look at it this way. Gary, LVN, Cox, and Enagbare are going to be your primary four. But Colin Oliver, even if he's active on the roster, and even if he's healthy, probably not ready to go by week one or two as like a player that you can count on. Mosby's been here, and Mosby's been playing teams with Rich Bisaccia. I just think that it makes sense. Also, by the way, he had a really nice week this past week on defense, made some big plays there too. So I'm going to keep him as a six for now. It's a little bit of a bummer that that's not Baron Sorrell or something else, but Gary, LVN, Cox, Enagbare, Oliver, and Mosby at defensive end. Defensive tackle, Justice is going to lose the bet here if this comes to fruition. I'm going six. Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden, Warren Brinson, and Nasir Stackhouse. Comes down to a couple things. A, with a couple of the injuries, I've got a couple extra spots to play with. And therefore, even more so, I want to keep that six defensive tackle. B, I think you're going to need these guys throughout the course of the season. And you don't have that big run-stuffing player. I think Nasir Stackhouse at that size gives you a developmental player at the stature that he's at. And then I don't want to cut anyone on this list. I'm certainly not cutting Clark or Wyatt. Brooks is still too much upside for me, and he had a nice preseason so far as well. Colby Wooden looks much better in his new role, and I want to see how that kind of plays out. Warren Brinson's too talented. I think you keep him and see if he can develop over the next couple of years. And Nasir Stackhouse, again, we talked about it. That body type just doesn't exist on the roster right now. And I want to see what he can become. And there's just been too many flashes from Stackhouse to just give up on it. I do think if they release somebody from this group, it is Stackhouse. But I think I've just seen a little bit too much so far that I kind of want to see that play out and give him a little bit more of a chance. Five linebackers, Quay, Cooper, Simmons, Hopper, and then McDuffie. Not in any particular order of those last three. As far as Simmons goes, yeah, I think he's got work to do. I don't think he's a lock to make this team. In fact, I think he's fighting tooth and nail for this job right now. Whether or not he can keep it, get it, etc., that's going to be up to him. He's got one preseason game left. It's been ugly on defense, just not a good enough attention to detail and focus, too many errors. Like that's a bad sign for a veteran linebacker. And I get he has a real role on special teams, and that probably makes the team. But yeah, this has been a pretty brutal preseason for Simmons so far. Hopefully he can make up for it in his third preseason game, show that he's worthwhile, worth keeping, I should say, on defense a little bit more, and still a stud on special teams. If he can show that, he can make it. I just think there's a little bit more upside there still with Simmons than there is with Christian Welch, both on defense and on special teams. So I'm going Simmons, but if you said this was Welch and Simmons didn't make it, would not be stunned at all. I think that's going to be a real interesting debate within 1265. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out called Prealcohol. Now, ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Prealcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make Prealcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about Prealcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm legit telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on that next day and all that summer has to offer. Go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY. Going five corners. Nixon, Hobbs, Valentine, Bo Melton, and I'm going Micah Robinson here. I really wanted to keep Kamal Haddon. This is a rough week for him. I still think they like him, but I just don't think that ultimately ends up being the player based on what we've seen in this last preseason game was really ugly. It's a close one, but I didn't go with Haddon in this situation. You guys know I've not been super high on Kalen King. I just think he's more of a practice squad type player. Hopefully they can get him back there. Corey Ballantyne was certainly in consideration here too. I think they know what they have. I think they'll try to get him back on the practice squad also. I'm going to go again, Micah Robinson. I just think that he has shown some pretty good coverage ability already. He's got some upside, some good speed on the outside. Seventh round pick, maybe not wanting to subject him to waivers. I'm going to say Micah Robinson right now, the leader in the clubhouse for that number five corner position. It's still crazy that Bo Melton might be number four, but Keyshawn Nixon, Nate Hobbs, Carrington Valentine, Bo Melton, and Micah Robinson at corner. Safety is pretty self-explanatory. Five safeties, Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, Zane Anderson, and Ketanji Adapo. If Zane Anderson is not ready to go, that could murky this up a little bit. They could potentially use one of those IR designated to return spots on him. If he's out for like 2 weeks of the regular season, they could just keep him on the list and then hope he comes back in those first couple weeks, kind of just deactivate him for those first 2 weeks. But that's the one cloudy picture right now at safety. But other than that, if everyone's healthy, I think that group of five is pretty obvious. And with Zane's ability on special teams, can't see him going anywhere at the moment. So five safeties, McKinney, Williams, Bullard, Zane Anderson, and Ketanji Adapo. Orzic at long snapper, McManus at kicker, Daniel Whelan at punter. No surprises there. Here is my 16-man practice squad for Green Bay. I'm going Taylor Algirsma at quarterback. I just don't think either of these guys gets you any actual NFL wins right now. And so I'm going to go with the guy with the better upside. In that case, it's Taylor Algirsma. I'm going Israel Abanaconda and Amar Johnson as running backs in the practice squad. I think they've both just shown enough. And Abanaconda's really kind of, you know, bought into the culture. I've been impressed with him so far. So I think both of those guys get kept on the practice squad. Cornelius Johnson and Julian Hicks are the wide receivers. I'm interested in Nayer. I don't think Shepard is out of this race either. It's an interesting practice squad race. If Malik Heath doesn't make it, he could be here as well. but for now I'm going Cornelius Johnson and Julian Hicks, Ben Sims at tight end, Donovan Jennings, Tyler Cooper, and Lasita Smith along the offensive line. I think with only 9 on the active, I think they're going to want to keep 3 here. If it was a Brant Banks or a JJ Lippe instead of Lasita Smith, I could understand that as well. But Lasita has actually looked pretty decent so far. So I'm going to go Donovan Jennings, Tyler Cooper, and Lasita Smith. Keith Randolph at defensive tackle, Christian Welch at linebacker, Jamon Johnson at the other linebacker, Kalen King at corner, Corey Ballantyne at corner, Kamal Haddon at corner, and then Jonathan Baldwin at safety. So one more time, that practice squad: Elgersma, Abanaconda, Amar Johnson, Cornelius Johnson, Julian Hicks, Ben Sims, Donovan Jennings, Tyler Cooper, Lasita Smith, Keith Randolph, Christian Welch, Jamon Johnson, Kalen King, Corey Ballantyne, Kamal Haddon, and Jonathan Baldwin. A very Johnson-heavy practice squad with Amar Johnson, Cornelius Johnson, and Jamon Johnson on that practice squad in this scenario. International pathway program player, I'll say a kicker. It's McNamee for now. I could see them maybe trying to go in a different direction if McNamee struggles, and they could also bring Alex Hale back once he's healthy there as well, but some international pathway program kicker. IR designated to return Marshawn Lloyd and Baron Sorrell. Physically unable to perform list, Christian Watson and John Williams. Players who were just straight out released, cut, waived injured, etc. Tyrion Davis-Price, Mecole Hardman, Will Shepard, Isaiah Nayer, Kawan Baker, Messiah Swinson, Johnny Lumpkin, JJ Lippe, Trey Hill, Brant Banks, Omar Brown, Garnett Hollis Jr., Sean Clifford, James Esther, Tyron Herring, Jared Bartlett, and Deslin Alexander. 3 players on IR in that can't return: Travis Glover, Isaiah Dunn, and Jalen White, who are already on that list. Just to recap it really quick, here is your full roster and list of release players, practice squad players, etc. 2 quarterbacks, Jordan Love and Malik Willis. 3 running backs, Josh Jacobs, Emmanuel Wilson, and Chris Brooks. 6 wide receivers, Romeo Doubs, Matthew Golden, Jaden Reed, Savion Williams, Dontavian Wicks, and Malik Heath. 3 tight ends, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, and John Fitzpatrick. 9 offensive linemen, Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Elton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, Zach Tom, Jordan Morgan, Jacob Monk, Anthony Belton, and Kadeem Telfort. 6 defensive ends, Rashawn Gary, LVN, Brenton Cox, Kingsley Enagbare, Colin Oliver, and Aaron Mosby. 6 defensive tackles, Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden, Warren Brinson, and Nasir Stackhouse. 5 linebackers, Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, Isaiah Simmons, Tyrone Hopper, and Isaiah McDuffie. 5 corners, Keyshawn Nixon, Nate Hobbs, Carrington Valentine, Bo Melton, and Micah Robinson. 5 safeties, Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, Zane Anderson, and Kitana Ladapo. 3 special teamers, Matt Orzek, Brandon McManus, and Daniel Whelan. 16 practice squad players, Taylor Elgersma, Israel Abanaconda, Amar Johnson, Cornelius Johnson, Julian Hicks, Ben Sims, Donovan Jennings, Tyler Cooper, Lasita Smith, Keith Randolph, Christian Welch, Jamon Johnson, Kalen King, Corey Ballantyne, Kamal Haddon, and Jonathan Baldwin. 1 international pathway program player, in this case, Mark McNamee for now. 2 IR designated to returns in Marshawn Lloyd and Baron Sorrell. 2 pup list, Christian Watson and John Williams. 17 players released, waived, or cut: Tyrion Davis-Price, Mecole Hardman, Will Shepard, Isaiah Nayer, Kawan Baker, Messiah Swinson, Johnny Lumpkin, JJ Lippe, Trey Hill, Brant Banks, Omar Brown, Garnett Hollis Jr., Sean Clifford, James Esther, Tyron Herring, Jared Bartlett, and Deslin Alexander. And 3 players on IR: Travis Glover, Isaiah Dunn, and Jalen White. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Let me know what I got wrong, what you think I got right, what you would change if you were GM. I'd love to hear in the comments below. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members: PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Ataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carla Delgado, Willie Winkelsinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Craig. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.